It's Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn, here on the MLW Radio Network. Brought to you by our good friends over there at WrestleZone.com, the world's most widely read wrestling news site on the planet. It is me, Matt Kuhn, your fellow fan. And as a fan, I just want to tell you, I appreciate y'all listening, y'all downloading on all of your devices. It's such a small show and such a little show that you can pretty much download it anywhere. Of course, you can get on iTunes. And if you do, leave us a five-star review. Yesterday, we did the WednesdayNightWar.com review and reviewed both shows and told you which one I think won. Did you agree? Did you not disagree? Does that make sense? No? Let me say that again. Did you agree or did you disagree? Let me know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/totalengagement, or over on Twitter at Total Engage Show. Of course, you can follow me at Total Engagement. And today we are talking about the draft. This is our draft special, as well as an El Camino Breaking Bad movie preview. Today, here on Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn. First things first, it is the draft. The draft. There's a couple things about the draft. Number one, I love the idea of the brand extension, the brand split. What an idea. You have all this talent and you can split it in half. You can elevate the mid-card talent and you can create new headliners. The problem is it's never worked. Whatever the reason is, I think it's their inability to get people over at a high level. Whatever it is, it has never worked. I'm not so sure it's going to work this time. We're 0 for 3, folks. We're 0 for 3. And we also see how it usually goes. What almost always happens is they really load up Raw, and then they give SmackDown the people that almost looks like it's even. It could be even, but it's really the guys in WWE that the people, the higher-ups, if you will, aren't that into. And what happens usually as a result is the better wrestling and the more entertaining show is on SmackDown, and Raw just has the star power. Guess what's going to happen this year, guys? It's going to flip. Raw, of course, has a tradition, and it's a three-hour show, so they do need the extra talent to fill up the time. But make no mistake about it, SmackDown is the number one show. So I had a choice of how I want to do this draft preview show. I could do it what I would like to see or what I think will happen. I went with what I think will happen. And we'll see. I want your input as to, number one, what you'd like to see, and number two, what you think will happen. Now, what I did is I judged us on the predicate of SmackDown's the number one show. They want to get the most eyes on SmackDown. They don't want to completely destroy Raw, so they put the people over there that makes it look almost even, and also guys they don't really care about as much, but guys that the fans care about a lot. So let's go through the draft. Now, I started working on this, and then they came out with some new rules, and I started working on it again. Then they came up with some new rules. So basically, there's a draft pool of people who are eligible for the draft on Friday, which is today, SmackDown, and then Monday. Everybody else that you know of is outside of that pool. I don't think NXT is going to be involved. They're still not going to have a storyline reason why people go to their main roster from NXT. They'll just have people show up. So this is the pool that we have to draw from. So that's where I got these names from. Now, if you want to see the complete list, you can head over to our Facebook page or you can head over our Twitter, because I'm going to post the list and what I think is going to be the end result of the drafts over there. We have 8 categories. We have Raw men's, Raw women's, Raw tag teams, Raw women's tag teams, SmackDown men's, SmackDown women's, SmackDown tag teams, SmackDown women's tag teams. So here's what I think is going to turn out. As I said, it's not the priority, but they don't want to bury it. The guys that are not at the tip of their tongue are going to be the Raw roster. And I think it's going to lead off with Brock. Brock is always a convenient person to put on the show because he's not going to be there very much. And it gives us that plausible deniability. Like, we're stacking Raw. We got fucking Brock on there. Brock will be the main guy over there. The other top tier men's wrestlers will be Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, and Kevin Owens. Shinsuke Nakamura is bringing his title as well as Sami Zayn with him as well, as well as King Corbin, and rounding out kind of the top tier of the men's division is going to be Daniel Bryan, because I think they think the marks like Daniel Bryan. Also going to stay over there is Rusev to keep the angle going. I think Harper and Rowan will both be going over there to continue their thing. Andrade, for reasons we'll talk about later, and some of the work rate guys like Apollo Crews and Buddy Murphy, Shelton Benjamin, Akira Tozawa, and Drew Gulak. That's your men's division. Of course, the complete list over on our Facebook page or our Twitter page. The women's division of Raw, again, it's not the top priority. Now, I believe they're going to lead off with Charlotte. Now, believe it or not, I'm under the impression that Charlotte's not a priority for the WWE. If you look at the way she's merchandised, I know she's won a lot of titles. But titles really don't mean as much to the higher-ups of WWE as other things do, such as merchandise, such as really taking care of their character. But they know Charlotte is a commodity, and by sticking her on the Raw women's side, they can make the argument that it's as stacked as SmackDown is. Rounding out the women's division is going to be Sasha Banks, Natalya, Tamina, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan. Now, I think we're going to see one or two women from the NXT roster come up eventually, and they'll start with Raw to bolster up that division. But really, I think the women's side is not going to be a huge priority for Raw. For the Raw tag teams, I believe we're going to see the Revival bring their titles over there. The Viking Raiders will stay over there. Lucha House Party, Heavy Machinery, Ziggler and Rude, as well as Hawkins and Ryder. That sounds very Raw to me. It's also not the guys they want on Fox. And then for the women's tag, the Iconics and the Kabuki Warriors, which gives you some singles over there. Plus, they can tag up some of the other women's to put in that division. And that's your Raw side. Now, SmackDown side, I think that's where the story is, because I believe they're going to keep Roman over there. They made a big deal about Roman going over there. I also think they're going to go ahead and shift over The Fiend and Seth Rollins over to SmackDown. I don't think we've seen the end of that, unfortunately, but I think those are the big names. Roman, Seth, and The Fiend. They're the people we're going to see every week. Of course, we're going to have other people there like Samoa Joe, like Chad Gable, like Ricochet, like Cedric, like No Way Jose, Jinder Mahal. But it's not going to be as deep a roster, but it's going to be a shorter show. Again, the show's going to rotate around Roman, The Fiend, Ricochet, Chad Gable, and a couple guys we're going to talk about in a second. And that's your SmackDown men's division. Your SmackDown women's division is going to, of course, rotate around Becky. I know they think a lot about Lacey, and I think Lacey's going to be there with Bayley and Carmella. Of course, Carmella and R-Truth come as kind of a package deal as well. The SmackDown tag teams are an interesting story to me, because they have listed two factions as tag teams. I'm predicting that the New Day, as a way to kind of placate the fans and maybe even placate them, are going to win a tag team title on SmackDown, probably from Ziggler and Rude, or could be the Revival, and that way they'll get those tag titles over on SmackDown. But that's three guys, including Kofi, who are part of that faction, but they count as one draft pick. The OC, the same deal. AJ Styles is now over there. So now we've bolstered the single men's division of SmackDown with not just Kofi Kingston, but also AJ Styles and potentially Xavier Woods, as well as Big E. And I think AOP is going to be another tag team over there. The Street Profits, I think the Street Profits are going to be a SmackDown team. I think Vince, I just imagine Vince, look at them. Look how entertaining they are. I can just see it now. The B team and AOP round out the SmackDown tag team division. The SmackDown women's tag team division will be Fire and Desire and Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And that's what I think is going to happen. Now, as you see with the men's SmackDown division of having Roman and The Fiend and Seth and Rey Mysterio and AJ and Kofi Kingston, we're going to have a lot of guys that they think a lot of that appeal to a lot of demographics. I think that's something people aren't thinking of, is that when SmackDown used to be on regular cable, they had a lot of wrestlers that appealed to ethnic minorities over there. I wouldn't cast that aside as a strategy just because it's Fox now, but still, they're going to stack it up with who they want Fox to see. And Brock can come over whenever he wants, right? And then, of course, Becky is the biggest deal to them right now. It doesn't matter who she feuds with, but they brought over Bayley. Maybe she can be the person that she has the feuds with. And Lacey is, of course, the future. I think there's a possibility they might bring over Corbin over to the men's side, but I think the men's side is stacked enough at SmackDown. Again, it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be equal. SmackDown is going to get a much better roster, and it's going to appear as if it's almost fair, but it's really not going to be. And that is my Raw Draft Preview Show. What is going to happen? Ladies and gentlemen, it is our first non-wrestling segment. I don't think we're going to do a lot of these. A matter of fact, there's nothing more annoying to me in a lot of ways than wrestling shows that try to be more than wrestling shows. I think wrestling fans listen to podcasts. It's a fact. I've known in the past that other shows that have had wrestling guests, when they have non-wrestling guests, they go down in downloads. I also know that when wrestlers want to say, there's so much more to me than my wrestling career. It's true, there is, but it's not really what people want to download. So I'm doing this even in the face of all logic because I am so fucking jacked for El Camino. You cannot really find a bigger Breaking Bad fan than me. I've watched the series, I want to say four times. It has to be four times. I love the characters. I love the drama. I think Skyler White is the biggest heel in the history of television. I mean, besides Carmela Soprano, obviously. And the way the show ended was perfect. And 99 times out of 100, when a show ends that well, which it rarely does, or a movie ends that well, I am really against sequels or prequels or revisits or reopenings or any of that stuff. And it's not because I'm so intrigued by what happened. It's more because I have faith in the creative vision of the people involved, Vince Gilligan, everybody else involved, where I'm saying, okay, guys, I'm going to trust you. Y'all can fuck up this legacy if you want, but I don't believe you will. So I'm going to warn you before we get started, if you haven't seen it, this does not have spoilers. This doesn't have spoilers. There's no spoilers, but I am going to be talking about the trailers. I am going to be making some predictions. And if I'm fucking insightful and I ruin something for you, I apologize, but I swear to God, it is many hours. I don't want to say many hours, but let's say 4 hours before the show premieres on Netflix. I have not seen it. I do not know any spoilers, but here's what I think is going to happen and why. The last time we saw Jesse Pinkman, he was driving away from the scene of a crime with the murder of so many guys at the hands of Walter White. The bodies were found according to one of the trailers. And in that last shot, we do see police lights in the back of the car, but we know from the trailer that Jesse got away. So it was probably the reflection of them coming in the other direction or going towards the direction of what happened. Now, my personal view from the music I heard, from the allusions with Rivers, I think it's going to be almost a religious awakening for Jesse. I think it's going to be a story of redemption, and not like Walter White, where Walter White on the last episode of Breaking Bad, he tied everything together with a bow, right? I don't think he really redeemed himself as much as he gave like a pragmatic, practical ending to things. He felt better about telling Skyler it was his fault, but really he only did that for her closure, not really to redeem himself. He's not a redeemable person. Walter White's a terrible person. While Jesse, we saw time and time and time again, a guy who did not feel good about doing any of the stuff he did. Now, in a lot of ways, in the real world, we call that kind of person a pussy, but a better human being might think of someone like Jesse as flawed, someone who every single time something happened, whether it would be using kids to sell drugs or whether a kid getting shot or whether another kid getting shot or having to commit a murder to save somebody only because that person did that for him. Jesse was a person with a conscience, and he was the conscience of Breaking Bad, not a heel like Gus Fring or, of course, the worst heel in the history of television, Skyler White. So I think this tale is going to be about true redemption. True making things right as much as he can, and having Jesse take that journey from flawed human being to complete human being. Now, of course, that means he needs to go back and figure out Brock's mother, and there was a scene where he's digging a hole. I think he's probably burying her there, and I think there's a possibility that this episode might mirror Breaking Bad's last episode and have some parallels, but instead of the main character, this time Jesse Pinkman, being motivated by self-interest, he's going to be motivated by doing the right thing. So you might see a scene where he makes sure Brock's future is taken care of, but, and you might see other scenes that parallel Walt's actions, but his motivations, unlike Walt's, are altruistic. Of course, she was shot. And some other things that were a little unresolved is I don't think the police knew where the money was. Jesse probably was tasked with burying the money at the compound, and the police would have no idea where that money was, and there's millions and millions and millions of dollars. So my guess is, and the way that the trailer looked at the end when you hear a voice saying, "Are you ready?" is that Jesse found the money after truly redeeming himself, after truly making everything right with every single person that he possibly could, and going through his own journey, and through this journey becoming the person that he's always wanted to be, where he takes his money and goes to the vacuum cleaner salesman and says, "It's time for me to go." But I think it could even be more spiritual than that, where it could be his death, and it could be the voice from beyond saying, "Are you ready?" And he said, "Yes." In any case, I'm looking forward to El Camino. I believe it's going to be a story of redemption, a spirituality of Jesse Pinkman, and a journey of him becoming the person that he always threatened to be during the length of Breaking Bad, which was a good human being. And I'm not sure if I'm a good human being, but I'm someone who's made a lot of damn podcasts in a row. This is our 38th podcast in a row. That's 38 straight days of podcasting for Total Engagement with Matt Kuhn. If you enjoy the show, please tell your friends. Let's grow this mother. Let's do it together. I'm a wrestling fan. You're a wrestling fan. This is your wrestling fan podcast, Total Engagement with me, Matt Kuhn.